you could immerse yourself in a world of overflowing beauty, a world in which you could explore ease with consciousness and the lightness of change. If ordinary isn't enough for you and remarkable is just the beginning, join us to discover a universe that is truly magical. This is Creme de la Creme, presented by facilitators of Access Consciousness. Is now the time for something different? Here are the hosts of Creme de la Creme.
So, hi and welcome to Creme de la Creme. This is definitely going to be a Creme de la Creme. Here's Lisa Bengtsson, your host for, I'm going to say tonight, it is tonight in Sweden. And with me I have Tamara Junker. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. So, we're going to have a little hot discussion, conversation, clearings, whatever we feel that will be very inappropriate or appropriate or whatever we're going to do with this topic. And the topic is forbidden desires. Every time I say it, it's so much fun in my universe. Because what is it that we have decided is forbidden? And all those energies that come up when we say forbidden, what can we look at? What can we explore? What is really forbidden according to you or somebody else? And what's behind that, that if we would unlock it, unleash it, open the doors, knock down the doors, what would happen? What would happen if you allowed yourself to unlock everything that is forbidden? What would happen? Like, or is it something you would rather really keep forbidden and you would rather die than reveal it, unleash it, or anything like that? And I mean, when I say reveal it, does not mean you have to go on the radio, as Tamara and I are doing, and reveal everything. And you can, and we might. So be aware to hang on today, because we might reveal something. It's feeling that, like, I can always perceive, like, Tamara, we're not good at shutting up. So we'll see how much we will bring up tonight about this energy of forbidden desires, because I am quite sure we have had a couple of those, and what have we done with them? And do we have some that we still are hiding, or are we going to do something else tonight? So, Tamara, hey, this is going to be fun. I'm so happy you're here today.
Well, this is quite the change from the shows that have been going on lately. Not that I've been on all of them, but this is a little more intimate with just you and I, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Maybe that's required for this one.
Maybe it is.
I am not sure what's going to happen, but definitely one thing. If you want to join today, be on the show, you're so welcome to call in. So I'll give you the numbers. There are two ones, two different ones. If you're in the States, it's toll-free. It's 1-888-346-9141. And if you're outside of U.S., like, for example, Europe, Canada, Australia, whatever you like, you can call us at 001-480-553-5754. So you're so welcome to call. And we'll have it. It's on Facebook, too, if you cannot find it under Creating a Conscious World. So, yeah. So let's see what we have decided is forbidden that we might have changed. Do you have something, Tamara, coming up when I'm talking about that, that you have had forbidden in your life?
You know, it's funny, Lisa, because when you talk about forbidden desires, I sort of, my mind automatically goes to the things that are like taboo, you know, like really forbidden. And it's funny because I've never really had anything like that. I tend to just do what I want to do when I want to do it, and I've really sort of been that way my whole life. But what I have discovered, and this was surprising to me, that the desires that had become forbidden were in my world, unbeknownst to me, were not so much taboo desires, but more like simple desires, like the simple desire for attention, or the simple desire for affection, or the simple desire for, to be cared for. I never in a million years would have thought that those desires would have become forbidden in my world. Again, forbidden, for me, sends my mind going to that place of like, ooh, the taboo things that you're never supposed to talk about, you're never supposed to tell anyone that you have that desire. But for me, it was simple desires. Like, I didn't realize that I was not allowing myself to ask for, because desires are things that often we have to ask for, because how else are other people going to know that we have this desire? We have to make the request either of the universe or to that person if it relates to another person, or to just simply acknowledge it to ourselves. And I know that was what kind of had me stuck, is that there were things that I had become unwilling to acknowledge that I desired, because at some point in my life, maybe I did ask for them. I don't have any memory of this, but maybe I did ask for them and I was shot down. You know, somebody planted a big fat no in my universe, and it was like, oh, well, I can't ask for that anymore. That's not allowed. And so these desires went underground. And what I notice is when desires go underground, they fester and they create all kinds of wacky crap in my life that wasn't really working for me. And I tended to complain about things. And when I started paying attention to my complaints, I was like, wait, if I look at that complaint and I ask for what is the desire underneath, I was able to unearth all of these forbidden, hidden desires that had become disallowed in my universe. And then I could reveal them, bring them to the surface, and start to bring them to fruition.
I have noticed kind of very often when I have clients that these forbidden desires come up, or desires that they're not allowed almost to look at, that it wouldn't fit in their relationship, it wouldn't fit in their job, it wouldn't fit in their life. And it's really interesting, because it's not only sexual, because there are a lot of sexual forbidden desires with people, because they're almost like, if I would think this even, it would not be good for me, or what would my whatever relationship you have say about that? And I had one class in Italy, I don't know if it's a year or two ago, about this topic, and they were so willing to go everywhere with the desires I've never asked, or they were unspoken. They were like, almost like, if they said it out loud, when they said it out, basically, their whole universe exploded. It was so interesting to say, of course, it was, at that moment, it was a lot of sexual things they were talking, or just very different things they were desiring. And one thing I looked at in my universe when I was looking at this topic was consciousness, basically. I saw all the sexual things, too, and I was like, okay, what if that was never forbidden? You were only just willing to go there and explore it. And, I mean, I know as a teenager, I had a lot of things. Okay, that's not what you're supposed to ask for. That's not what you're supposed to. I remember fantasizing about having two guys, and I'm like, no, you're supposed to have one, and the other, if I go for two, it's like a slut, and blah, blah, blah. So I definitely had a lot of those thoughts when I was younger to fit in, like to make myself appropriate instead of being totally wacko weird and different. And I grew up in Germany at that point when I was getting in puberty, and it was a lot of boxes, a lot of structures, a lot about being right and appropriate. So I always had like, oh, those thoughts aren't supposed to be there. But when I was exploring this topic, I looked a lot about the energy of consciousness, like how much have we hidden consciousness? So it's basically forbidden, not allowed. We're not allowed to ask about it. And if we do, people react. Like, so how many of these topics, areas are there that we're forbidden? It's almost like we're doing it towards ourselves. Forbidden ourselves. Can you say that? my English went bananas at the moment.
Hey, Marilyn,
you guys.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hey.
Lovely to have you join us.
Thank you.
Another one that's not forbidden tonight, Marilyn.
Yeah, exactly. I am not forbidden. You know,
forbidden fruit.
What came up is that it was forbidden for me to think about things like, you know, with the whole academic family, it was forbidden to have the desire to have emotions or to express myself in a way that was too expressive. You know, the only people who could be expressive were people that were up on stage, and then that was like, ooh, how avant-garde. But, you know, just to be a kid running around and screaming, that was really a desire I had. And that was actually considered, you know, for me, that was forbidden. So it's almost like anything that's us that then the culture or a family or whatever says is taboo or we shouldn't be that way, that actually creates a forbidden desire.
Yeah, if it's not readily seen acceptable by the masses, you know, then it's something that might be considered on the fringe, then that would be something that we might put underground in our world and not allow it to be expressed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny because Because the forbidden desires are usually the ones that also even give you this excitement, tickling energy that you're like, oh, and you just don't want to even almost get close to it because you don't even know what would happen. You would go out of control, bananas, crazy, not be normal again, ever.
So what about the forbidden desire of the desire not to have a point of view about other people's points of views about what we're choosing?
I think you'll have to say that again, Ricky, because you didn't, we missed some of that.
Yeah, so I was saying the forbidden desire of the desire to not have a point of view about other people's points of views about us. Because a lot of, you know, what you guys kind of just uncovered was how the forbidden desires are basically what's not allowed or acceptable in this reality. And what if this reality had no value?
Absolutely.
There's an awesome desire to allow this reality to become something that's no longer relevant to you when you're choosing what you'd like to create as your life.
Yeah, I was listening to a class that Dane did in Houston about unlocking your energetic capacities, and one of the things that came up is, like, you know, he asked a question about, you know, what we've decided was wrong about us, and everyone like could pick three things in like 2 seconds, and then when he kind of asked the question of like what makes you happy, everyone went blank, and it's like, wow. And we have all these things that we've judged as so horrible that, you know, we're wrong forever. And what if we could let go of those? And it's like this, and it really resonates with this forbidden desire conversation. Like, it's forbidden to be free of all judgment.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. We do have a caller today as well.
Let's bring him on.
We have Sheila from Pennsylvania. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh, this is so cool. I remember calling into, like, the other show that Dane and Gary had, and it was so much fun. And, wow, this should be really fun.
Cool. Welcome. What question do you have? What would you like to tell us?
Well, one of the things that came up for me when it was, like, forbidden desires is when someone makes you really angry and you just want to, like, unleash. Like, I guess I got into an argument yesterday, so I was really, really angry. And I'm like, I don't know if there's a desire behind that. Like, the desire to express my anger or the desire. I was told, oh, you're not different. You can't be successful. And then that just made me really angry. And I wanted to do something. So I kind of don't know what that is.
Did you want to do something to that person?
I wonder if the anger was arising as part of your innate bullshit detector detecting a lie.
I think so. I think later I looked upon it and I'm like, wait, I just want to create so much that that person will shut up and leave, let me be.
Wow.
As if that would work.
I'm motivated.
I guess it wouldn't work, but I'd still
as
like
as if that would work, you know? Because usually when people are throwing that stuff at you, it's not because it's real or because it's true. And so we think that if we achieve enough or we do enough, then people will leave us alone. But what I've found is it tends to get worse. And it's all because, you know, we buy that we have to create our lives based on what other people think we should be doing or what we can do or what we can't do. And what Tamara said to me is like, wow. That's one of the things I found is I tend to become angry when someone is lying to me. And as far as, like, the forbidden desire, it's like, what if you could call bullshit when bullshit was there? Then you wouldn't have to take it on.
And then, that could almost be, like, a little bit of a cycle where you're just, like, trying to prove it, but then you feel like you have gotten there, and it just goes on and on and on. And on.
We
operate out of things. Yeah, there's no freedom in proving energy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
you know, if we operate out of things like you have to be nice and you have to always put the other person first, then the forbidden desire can actually be being yourself in any way.
You know, something that shows up in my classes, almost every single class when I'm facilitating Foundation Level 1 is as we drill down, we kind of discover that everyone has this, you might even call it a forbidden desire to be them. And what they notice that they're doing in so many areas of their life is that rather than just be them, they're actually fighting for the right to be them. And so it's this constant battle against others who have other, you know, these other people have decided who they should be, what they should do, what they should choose. And so, you know, that person is projecting all of those ideas of what should be chosen, what should be, what the person should be doing with their life. And then sometimes a lot of this anger does arise because it feels like there's this constant battle to, you know, prove that I have the right to live my life my way. I have to prove that I have the right to be me. And when we give up making other people's, as Ricky said, when we give up making other people's points of view relevant to our lives and what we choose, then we can give up that fight and we can actually just be.
That sounds so nice. Like, normally I'm in this, like, pretty good vibe, but then, I don't know, yesterday it just sort of stuck me. And then it hasn't really completely let go yet, so...
But it has changed something, maybe now.
Wait, what? Oh, no, I couldn't hear it.
So, maybe, do you feel that it has changed something now? Are you becoming aware of something different with you?
I think I became aware of just how much I wish to have that space from which to create my own life.
Are you willing to choose it?
Am I, though? Yes, I want that. It's so much more fun.
I think you want to want it.
I want to. There's times where I have it.
When it takes too long. Might be a little with you 10 seconds. So, Sheila, we're going to go on a short little break with these desires and temptations and see what we'll choose after their break. So, everybody, stay here with us. Just enjoy the break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want to know what the best kept secret in Access Consciousness is? It's the Access Gold Club. Demanding more change and the latest and greatest, but can't always get to all the classes you desire? Let Gary and Dane come to you. Join the Gold Club, and each month you'll receive a 60-minute live call, a weekly email on the month's theme containing the latest clearings in written form, and an MP3 loop. Twice a month, receive a brand new video with Gary and Dane. How does it get any better than this? In addition to receiving a CD format of the monthly call mailed to you, you'll also enjoy a surprise bonus gift. Be in on the secret. Join today at www.isnowthetime.com/special-tips.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet. Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
You are listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Welcome back to Forbidden Desires, our topic of today. And I couldn't stop laughing. Please email Pam. She's an awesome coordinator woman in our lives. And if you don't know her, she's just hilarious. She's an equity facilitator. She is everywhere and takes care of us so well and helps us out in any way possible. I just wanted to thank Pam out in the world. So Forbidden Desires, we still have Sheil on our call if she still wants to say something or ask something to us. And we will have soon another caller, and please call in if you like to. I'll just give you the not toll-free number. If you are not in U.S., it's 001-480-553-5754. I could slow down a little bit, too, if you're writing. That would work. So, yeah, being you. Being you, are you forbidden towards you, towards the world, towards your point of view? What would you like to change?
We may have lost Lisa.
Oh, no. We have one person down. Something just changed. I feel a lot better. I just realized for Forbidden Desires, there's sometimes that it's like forbidden to give affection to people. Like, I've been in a situation where there's like a person, I just want to give them a hug, but then somewhere I'm like, no, you can't go and give them a hug. That's something else too.
Yeah, and then there's the, you know, looking at what that could create.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy coming up around this word forbidden. I mean, the first time that I heard the word was, I think I was probably 4 or 5, and I was in Sunday school. I was at church, and I was hearing the story about this guy named Adam and his wife or his girlfriend named Eve, and there was this like voice from the sky that said, "You can't eat from this tree." And then they did it, and then, like, everything changed.
This is such a casual way of putting it.
Who was that? Oh, God.
You can feel the heaviness out of it.
And it would be awesome to listen to that.
Yes, it would be fun.
I would love if all the stories were, like, retold in that sort of sense. It would be so much more fun to listen to.
But that would be forbidden, right? But that's forbidden, like, to tell a story that actually works or that has something to contribute to you now, right?
Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, to hear Bible stories like that. Like, there was Noah, he made a big boat, there was a flood.
What does forbidden desires contribute to the reality? What's the purpose of it?
Well, I get one of it is really judgment, because if something is forbidden, it like sticks you, because you have to judge it as being something that's wrong, and it really starts, and it eliminates question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cool.
And then there's the simple question of who decides what's forbidden, because certainly there are things that are perhaps forbidden in one person's world that are absolutely not forbidden in another person's world, so where does that even come from? Where does that even arise from? You mentioned, you know, religion. Where else do forbidden desires come from? And why do we align and agree with those points of view and then choose to live inside the confines of what somebody else has projected onto us as the right way to live?
And as much as people do align and agree, it's like we also resist and react just as much to the forbidden desires, and we stick ourselves because it's like something about something being forbidden, like we have to go there. And although we know that we're not supposed to go there, we go there, and then we judge ourselves, and then we go there, and then we judge ourselves, and we just get stuck.
So if we didn't have anything that was forbidden, how many judgments would stick?
Ooh, that maybe would be none.
Yeah.
The judgment, like, forbidden things would there be?
Yeah, how would the world look like? Like, how would my world look like? And I didn't...
You'd have
and
choice.
It's, like, would be interesting to see how many of those things that feel heavy are really things that are full of judgment and forbidden for me to change even or look at, and I don't even see it because I've hidden it or made it secret.
Yeah. I would know
what to do. So... Thank you so much for being on with us for such a long time. And please call back another time. We're so grateful to have you in the call.
Thank you. Okay, then.
Bye.
See you guys another time.
Thank you. And I'm just going to check. Do we still have our next call online? Nancy from New Mexico?
Yes.
Cool. Nancy, yeah. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
What would you like to ask or talk about or address?
Well, I grew up in a home where there was addiction, alcoholism, and I had an awareness a short time ago that I think I sort of checked out entirely when I was maybe 7, 8, or 9, and even though we talked to each other, it seemed like nobody ever said anything that was very real, and somehow I got the idea that I couldn't say anything real or true, and I was psychic, and I had to be careful about that and stop revealing it pretty early. And I don't know, I've lately gotten to the point where I've decided that being me sometimes just means stopping and being still and seeing what comes up, which is sort of interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, this is Marilyn. I work a lot with addiction. And in fact, one of the things that I talk about is there's actually a language of addiction and abuse. It's an energetic language, but you've beautifully described one of the elements, which is that nobody's present. So you learn that language like you learned English, not to be present, and nobody ever says the truth.
Yeah.
So you learn that too. That's a way, it's a behavioral language of being in the world. And I love the fact, I love what you're saying, that you're just being still and allowing whatever comes up to come up. Because what we do when we learn that language of addiction is that we really completely cut ourselves off from being who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything about being who you are is about saying who you are, being present. Being present is actually, in a way, telling the truth of who you are. So good for you. And I want to encourage you to keep on that exploration of who you truly be, because clearly that was you were given the message to shut that down early. That's what addiction does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And thank you very much, because that's sort of acknowledging what I'm thinking is true. At first, I thought I had to figure out how to be some other way. But I don't.
No, just to be you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for joining, Nancy. Like, thank you for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. It's such an interesting area, all with addiction or any sort of way of living where we're destroying our families or whatever that is, how that also becomes like this hidden, forbidden energy, and people do not want to almost talk about it, that they have had a certain background. It's like when I meet access people, it's basically, it's like an open book for most people just to talk about their lives or change things and things like that. But when you address things in other areas and other, with other people, it's kind of almost like shocking if you're too open and do not have points of views about the weird stuff that most people
just don't want to even acknowledge that they have, or they want to hide it away and have this beautiful facade that their family or their life is awesome. And I'm like, what if we were just willing to be an open book and here, this is me now at this moment? What would happen if we were just in ease with everything that we have with us?
That would be awesome.
I mean, I know you, Marilyn, you work with that daily energy of addictions. One of the things that people do hide a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is all about what's forbidden. It's forbidden to express anything. It's forbidden to tell the truth. It's forbidden to be present. It's forbidden to show up in any way but how your family has told you to show up. And many people get the idea, and it is passed on, that it was actually forbidden for them to be born, and it's forbidden them to exist. So this whole forbidden thing can get really right down in there. And, you know, so much of what I start with is this primary addiction, which is to judgment of self and being wrong, which, you know, sort of ties back in. If nothing's forbidden, no judgment and forbidden go together. And if we can eliminate that, whew, people can really show up and be them, and it's much easier.
Oh, wow. And this is the question. Do people want a life with ease, or do they love their drama? Do they love keeping things in control? Do they love to limit themselves? Do they love the containable life?
I had a conversation with Gary
about that. It's like how I create from a containable where I can put everything in. It works. And outside of that, everything is wacko and creates a greater life. And I'm like, yeah, containable, not fun at all.
But you're right. I think many people are just as happy to have things forbidden because it gives them a sense of security, a false sense of security. But instead of finding real security in awareness and choice, they're finding in, well, I know what to do and I know what I can't do. But, you know, those can be maybe secret. Maybe once a year I'll venture over there. But otherwise, I'll be a good girl or boy and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. And I know my life will work out because I'm doing everything that they told me to do. So I think that's a really good point, Lisa, and is not everybody actually desires a life with nothing forbidden because, oh, my gosh, they'd have to choose.
They'd have to choose, yes. And is it like almost like the motivation? Like, let's go, if we're just went into the area of sexual things that are forbidden, is that something that gets people going? Like, it's awesome to have something you desire that you haven't been willing to choose. Does that... Do people feel more alive when they have that? Or like, what would happen if everything was able... What would happen if we could choose everything? Is that even like... is it then boring for people? I mean,
I think that's the ultimate forbidden thing, Leeson, is having the
have
capacity
everything.
To choose everything, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Wow. So what space can we create for everything to be able to be there for us? And are you willing to choose that? Are you even willing to ask a question about that? Because a lot of people would say, yes, I'm willing. And then they can go home or live their lives and they don't ask another question. So... that's where I see, like, when I have something, I say I want to change it or choose it or create it, I start asking questions about it. And even if it gets so freaking uncomfortable, I know it's like, oh, I want to jump out the window. It's like, keep on asking questions. Because when I keep on asking questions, things show up differently in my life. But I also know sometimes I just ask questions to change a certain area of my life and not really just asking for change. And sometimes I can fool myself in thinking and pretending I'm really creating change. And I'm just trying to polish something to make it a bit greater. Have you ever noticed that?
You mean my life is perfect, but I just want to change my underwear or maybe one element of my job or...
Yeah.
I know. It's pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy. And I also see that people come
to classes and really desire, I want to change my relationship or specific area. And there's nothing wrong with this. You can definitely, it's up to you to choose your life. And the funny part for me is when they get exactly the change that they ask for, and then they're happy, satisfied, and don't ask for more. I always get so confused almost or perplexed, like, huh, really? That was all? And when you got all that, or that exactly, why aren't you asking for more? You see it works. I sometimes don't get it, and I do get it because people want the designed life they just decided is right or whatever. And still I'm like, but if everything is possible to change and you see it by asking in one area, wouldn't you want to go everywhere and explore all these what else is possible everywhere? Stay here with us. Just enjoy the break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
When you're pondering the big questions like, is there more than this? How can I have a happy relationship? What would it take to like my body? And how do I make more money? Where do you go for information and tools? Check out the online store at accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com has books, DVDs, instant video and audio downloads, online classes, and so much more. Subjects include abuse, changing your body, recovery, raising children, business techniques, tools to generate more money, how to have better sex and healthier relationships, just to name a few. At accessconsciousness.com, you can also find facilitators who teach local classes on a variety of subjects. Accessconsciousness.com, your one-stop shop for tools to assist you in changing your life. All of life comes to us with ease, joy, and glory. Go to accessconsciousness.com to learn more.
Listening to Creme de la Creme, presented by Access Consciousness. Join us on the program today via phone or email. Call us toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. Or send an email to Pam at accessconsciousness.com. She'll make sure we get the message. Now, back to Creme de la Creme.
Yes, we are here, creme de la creme, with Marilyn and Tamara, and Ricky had to leave us a bit early today. So we have this topic of forbidden desires, and I'm definitely, I was going to be like very excited and quite hot, because the energy, they're really going everywhere, and you can reach out, if you reach out in during, it, like during, not throughout the world, this energy of forbidden desires, I mean, it's like bubbly, expansive, you're not allowed to do it, and you want to do it, you're not allowed, and you want to, and I don't care to tell anyone, and if I tell anyone, what would happen, and
Would I rip somebody's clothes off? What would I do? What would happen if your body was turned on and you just wanted to have sex with everybody that showed up? Like, what would happen? So that was my introduction to, we're going to talk about sex.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Sex, baby. I can just say one thing, and I don't remember if I've said it ever on radio, but I was once upon a time, I was in Copenhagen at the airport, I'm there very often, but one day I was walking around there and just asking questions to my body and having like an extra hour, and I didn't work, I didn't do, I just was walking around and just asked my body, hey, what would be fun for you? And I wasn't even going sexually in the moment I asked a question, but then every second person that just went by, my body was like, oh, and I was like, what's that? And it basically was telling me, I would like that one. I would like to have fun with that one. I would like to have sex with that one. And I'm like, oh, my God, can I walk around now wanting to have sex with every second person here? And I just had to look after people. I'm like, okay, this is, oh, I'm so happy people do not want to read people's minds. Because it would have been quite funny, embarrassing. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it was so much fun just to be with that energy. I did not acknowledge it. I didn't do so much with it. We had an hour, but still, it was so much fun to just allow my body to show who it was turned on to, what it wanted to do, and I was like, oh, God, this is like the best film I've ever been in, or seen.
That's so great. You bring up something, Leeson, which is that it's our bodies that are willing to have this fun and engage in anything, and our minds are going, oh, no, that would be immoral, or that. You know, the bottom line is if we gave in, and what's wrong if you'd had sex with five people in the airport?
But oh, my God. It
would... That would disrupt a society. I mean, so much of it is about keeping people under control in terms of their roles, a good husband, a good wife, you know, a responsible citizen versus someone who's immoral, which all that really means is that they're not doing it the way everybody else thinks they should be doing it. Yeah, but, you know, how fun.
How fun would it be? And I'm wondering, we have some background noise, but it's going away. That's cool. So no, it would be really fun because the only thing that I saw that was different from the other moments I've had these weird stuff going on in my life is exactly what you mentioned. My head wasn't telling me anything. Like, my mind was not allowed to talk, basically. And I didn't know that from afterwards. It was just like my body was allowed. I was allowing it to do or say whatever it wanted to at that moment. It was freaking cool. And it's so much fun to have that space. But definitely, if I look back to my Germanish points of view, that I had quite a lot of them when I was younger, I definitely would have just cut that off and said, that's not appropriate, Leeson. That's not okay. That would be you being totally off, blah, blah, blah. And this is the thing. You don't have to choose everything your body desires, but you can allow it to have a desire. That means in that moment that I allow it to have this energy, it's a gifting receiving because it received. Every time I was allowed to receive that energy and whatever it created in my body, it was such a joy. And it was like, I was so happy, turned on, and flew wherever I flew. And I was like, I had a great day. And I'm like, cool. So what would happen if we didn't listen to our mind? We're allowing our bodies to give us information about something else we desire or that we also enjoy. I mean,
No, I think that's a great point, is that you don't have to act on everything. People have this idea, if I think about having sex with someone, I'll go to it. Uh-uh. Have total choice. And you can totally indulge in fantasies, knowing that they're fantasies and they're fun, and that's what your body would like. And I guess I want to distinguish between mental fantasies, which often have nothing to do with what the body actually desires. And it's a little bit different. And actual, real, maybe they're not fantasies, just paying attention to your body's, oh, yeah, that would be good. That would be really nice. You know, and then finding a way that works for you to take care of that. You know, to work with that. If it's just to really feel alive. And that's something that we haven't really talked about, but the energy of sexualness is that energy, that nurturing, healing, vibrant, orgasmic, alive energy is really the energy of life and living, of living. And when we cut off all desires about what people think of as sex, whether it's copulation or stroking, whatever, most people end up cutting off their sexualness and they're walking around like zombies.
So if people are new to the show, Marilyn, can you just explain what you mean with sexualness? Because it's a very different word as well.
Yeah. Sexualness is, it's all about that life force that's actually living. And you can see sexualness in a cat, the way it stretches and ooh la la, or in a small child. I remember once I was sitting out on the deck in the summer and someone had an infant that was about 6 weeks old, and he was sucking on her breast and holding his little penis at the same time, and he was just exuding happiness and joy at being alive. It wasn't sexual the way we think of, you know, don't touch that thing. It was that willingness to receive everything, enjoy everything, be part of everything, be aware, and have that kind of juicy, oh, yeah, I'm so excited to be alive, that many people then think has to get channeled into actually having copulation. It has nothing to do with copulation. It has everything to do with just aliveness. Does that help?
Yes. Yes. I think so. I mean, I understand it, and I hope more people understand that energy. And it's really, like, it's really alive. It's really what, but it's so, unfortunately, it's so connected usually with people, they connect it with sex copulation. And yeah. That's what I love with Access, especially during Foundational One, you unlock that. Wherever we're, I remember with me, everything was just glumped in one energy. So when I felt sexualness, I was like, oh, do I want to have sex? No, yes, no, no. And then I have to cut it off. And when I heard Gary and when I went to Foundational One, first time I was like, oh, there are different things, sex, copulation, sexualness, sensuality, and starting to unlock where they are when you get aware of it, the different energies of that, it created so much space for me to enjoy my body, to be around people, to perceive when there are expectations, perceive different energies when they are more like just joyful and just... It made much more simple also when I perceived that everybody just wanted to have copulation. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's the energy here. And it gave me freedom. And it was so cool. So I'm like, I'm so grateful for that. So that's one of the beauties of these Access classes. They create so much freedom being you that you can choose. And that's one of the things I see with sex area is there's so much weird stuff going on. And basically put it in a closet. I'll deal with it later or never or under the blankets, and then we'll cut it off 23 hours of the day, and maybe for 1 hour per day we'll have it out. It's kind of not nice that we do that.
It's not nice to our bodies, that's for sure.
No.
You can only be alive
really not.
The half an hour under the covers.
I love it. Like I meet some people, like when I say, no, I like having copulation sex when it's like the lights are on and everything like that. For me, it's like I like seeing things, and I cannot imagine having sex in the dark. And for me, when I hear people saying, like reacting, I'm like, that still exists that you want it dark? I'm like, for me, that's an utopia. And for other people, it's opposite. And I'm like, wow, we do live in different worlds and realities. And when I've noticed when things become like totally natural for me, it's so weird to see that it's not natural for everybody else. And that's where you like figure out, okay, you're a bit different. And it's okay.
Yeah.
You're all allowed to be different.
Well, and I think there's, in the forbidden desires, for a lot of people, seeing bodies is forbidden. You know, there's so much religious stuff about bodies are sinful and terrible and the whole point is to disregard them, they're pieces of junk, and to go on and ascend into whatever. But boy, that just cuts off one of the biggest, most expansive, joyful expressions of pleasure and pleasurable things and joy. It's really a stance of anti-life, which is interesting, you know. And in a lot of ways, I think what's forbidden is to be alive. What's forbidden is to actually enjoy living for many.
I mean, how many people react if you're happy? Like, it's like that simple. How many, if you're alive and totally happy about your life and you like everything you're doing or a lot of it, it's basically you are something really not fun to be around for a lot of people that still desire to be unhappy.
Right. And to be in shutdown mode.
Yeah.
You know,
I get a lot of...
camera?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, boy, do I get a lot of really strange looks when I say that my body is my fun vehicle where all pleasure is possible.
Totally get that. I mean,
that like, is just weird, you know, to everybody else. That's just weird. And if you're not judging your body like everybody else, then you are definitely doing something weird and different and wrong. And that, like you were just saying, Lisa, it doesn't make sense to me anymore to judge my body. I just can't think of any reason or justification good enough.
I love it. What would happen to the world if we couldn't find a reason, justification, a reason to judge yourself and your body? Like, what would happen? It's like, so, wow.
Oh, my God.
Pleasure
chaos. It would be pleasure chaos. Hedonism. We can't have that.
I like it. No, we cannot have that. Wow.
But, you know, I mean, maybe that is an underlying hidden reason and justification people are using for continuing to judge themselves and their bodies is because, as I think you mentioned earlier, Lisa, is that there would just be, you know, they'd lose all control and they would go crazy doing, you know, fulfilling all of those desires that they keep hidden from themselves.
Yummy.
Well, and also...
yeah, right? Yummy.
I'm like, wow. Sorry, Marilyn, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, forbidden desires keeps capitalism and governments going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, certainly capitalism for all of the advertising and even other kinds of governments where you can't do that because it's if people, quote, gave in to everything and could choose anything like we were talking about, they would cease to be controllable and manipulatable.
Yes.
You know, how much depends on people being controllable.
Oh, everything. What would happen if you're not controllable anymore? Like, that would not work.
Right.
People don't desire that. Like a lot of things is created, obtained, and confined by the judgment. So it works if you're in judgment. If you're not in judgment, it doesn't work. You have space. You can create. You can choose. You can create something totally different. That's so much more fun. And still, we allow too often to listen to everything where we should not.
Right.
So. Hey, just be willing to change one judgment a day. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know, I've often said to people, what if you gave yourself a judgment per day or even a judgment every hour? But you know, Lisa, not that. Just let go of one judgment a day. That would make a huge difference in people's lives that spend their lives judging. And that would be a way of eliminating that kind of polarity of can't choose this, want to choose this, can't choose this. Want to choose this, you know, just get rid of one judgment a day. Wow.
Yes. Wow, I found something new to do. That, I love it. It felt so much ease, space, and joy in my body just when you said that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, one thing, I want to change my life in one day. One thing per day might change greater than you ever thought because it's, I won't say any more about this one. I love it.
I love it.
Oh. Awesome. I know they have this gratitude thing going on Facebook, like 365 days. I'm going to do the 365 days, letting go of one judgment a day.
Cool.
Oh, really creative. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be really fun.
Huh. Oh, boy. That's definitely a forbidden desire to let go of that every day of judgment. What would happen after a year if I was willing to be that consistent and not give up on me in that area? Because, I mean, if you've listened to all our shows and everything we're doing, basically is being you and letting go of your judgment points of views about everybody else's judgment points of views that you made your real and, you know, on and on and on with that. And, I've totally missed it. We're at the end of the show. Oh, guys, I love you guys, and I missed the screen a little bit. We have 30 seconds. Thank you, Tamara, Marilyn, Ricky, bye-bye. You were a long time ago.
Thank you, Lisa.
This was
awesome.
Creme de la creme. You can join us every week, and there's a lot of awesome stuff out there, and change whatever you like in your life. Meet us up. If you want us to come somewhere, let us know. Email Pam at accessconscience.com. Thank you so much for all the forbidden desires today. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Creme de la Creme today. You might like to listen to it more than once. To experience even more change, join us again next Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Be sure to check out creatingaconsciousworld.com and accessconsciousness.com to find out more about us and about Access. What would it take for you to choose to be the creme de la creme in your life and to choose it again and again? Will you?